Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, Village Hall Vault Fass, Dyeing Yarn, My Shrug, and Knitted Knockers. Hello and welcome to episode 17 of The Ordinary Knitter. I seem to have quite a lot to talk about this week, which I know is situation normal. There won't be a podcast next week, so I may allow myself to ramble on a little bit longer this week to make up in advance for not having anything next week. I finished my green socks. Da da da! These are the socks with the afterthought heel. I've talked a lot as I've gone along about what I think about the whole thing, so I won't rehash all that here. My husband hasn't worn them yet, so although essentially they fit when you put them on, albeit with this really, to me, very incongruous looking a ridge of Kitchener on the apex of the heel, they do essentially fit. But until he's actually wearing them day in, day out, I'm not really going to know whether doing the forethought heel has had any significant effect on what it's like for him to wear them. I can say with confidence that I will not be going back to that method. The Flegel heels served me incredibly well, and this pair of socks are the exception that prove the rule. Ironically, I talked a little while ago about this jumper. Well, at one point, all I could talk about was baby knitting. All babies have arrived, all safe and well, all have received all their goodies, including the jumper with the Intarsia sheep on it. And I had said originally that I was going to include it in the village show. I was going to submit it to the village show, which is this coming Saturday. So I very embarrassingly had to say to my friend, I've made your little boy this jumper, but he can't have it yet. And then we arranged to go and stay with some relatives this weekend. So last week I gave her the jumper, which she loved, all very cute, etc., etc. Unfortunately, my uncle is now unable to have visitors next weekend. So we're going to be here after all, and I just draw the line at saying to her, can I have the jumper back? So I've decided instead, because any knitted items that you submit to the village show can't have been worn, they have to be brand new. So I've decided that these socks are the way to go. I don't know what they're going to think of them. I mean, to me, the heel doesn't look odd as in deformed or really bizarre. It's just, to me, it just doesn't look as smart and neat as an ordinary sock. So I don't know whether they'll look at it and go, oh, what did she think she was doing? We'll just wait and see. But something that I've been wanting for a while for socks are what I now know go by the proper name of sock blockers. I've seen metal, I've seen plastic, I've seen wood. I was distressed to discover that a wooden pair go for 30 plus quid on Amazon. So they're out of the question, unfortunately. Obviously, the clue is in the name. The theory is that you block your socks. I presume, I mean, I'm guessing here, but it seems to me intuitive that the name blockers means that you soak your socks or whatever you're going to do with them, spritz them, steam them. That's what I do often. And either while they're already on the blockers or, I imagine, with incredible care, while your socks are damp, you feed them on to the sock blockers. And as they dry, they take on the nice shape, because, you know, I'm the first to admit, by the time I finished making a pair of socks, especially these ones with the waffle construction, they're not lumpy in the sense of having actual lumps of yarn, but they're not sitting nice and flat as you might want for display purposes. So I found a website. I will include the show notes, but this it's a lovely just blog. I've discovered some really lovely blogs in the last few weeks while I've been looking for various things to solve problems. And she has a method for making cardboard sock blockers. Now, we have had an awful lot of deliveries of things recently, so we've got a lot of really sturdy cardboard boxes. So I'm going to try to make cardboard sock blockers and then cover them with some nice paper. And I can imagine for me that's where it's going to go wrong because I'm terrible at wrapping. But anyway, that's my theory. So obviously I'm going to have to block these socks and just put them into shape on my ironing board as usual and just have faith in my ability to shape them so that as they dry, they sit nice and flat and they look nice. And then I'm going to display them for the village show on the sock blockers. That's the theory. And just as incidentally, when I was in, I don't know if you have a chain where you are called J-Mart. There are a few of these regional chains. This is one in the West Midlands. And they have these jigsaw foam blocks that I've mentioned before. And they're very commonly used as blocking sort of surfaces because you can stick your blocking pins into them and they go in really nicely and they stay put. I didn't clock the price because I'm determined not to buy any while I know there are some in the roof of our garage. But if you're looking and if you have a J-Mart, go in and have a look there because they won't be particularly expensive. So that's the theory. So when I next get time to draw breath, sock blockers are the plan. I don't know if you saw the photograph I put on Instagram, when would it have been? Might have been Sunday. We've had a few guests over the last few days, one of whom was my father-in-law, who is an engineer. And he has a pair of incredible magnifying lenses, and they're built into a headset. So you can flip the magnifiers up when you don't want to use them and bring them down again when you do want to use them. And when I say scarily magnifying, you have to have things virtually at the end of your nose before they come into focus. But if you're trying to weave in ends on socks, fantastic! So I was borrowing these, and it just, I mean, each stitch was the size of the palm of my hand. It was fantastic. So they're great fun if you have access to a pair of those and you have to do some very fine work, whether it's sewing or knitting or whatever. I would recommend having a lend of them. They were great fun. I've completely forgotten now which order I was planning to talk about things in, but I'm going to launch in to the shrug. I wore this shrug on Saturday night in a funny way, having made it. I was hoping not to have to wear it because I hoped it would be warm enough. And all day, the weather was fantastic. We were so lucky. We say, oh, great, you know, had such rough weather recently. And suddenly off to an evening dew and the weather's gorgeous. Unfortunately, pretty much on the stroke of 6 o'clock, the clouds gathered, the wind picked up and the sun disappeared. And suddenly it was getting a wee bit chilly. So after about an hour, I threw in the towel and I got my shrug and it was absolutely brilliant. I was really, really pleased with it. Funnily enough, when I was wearing it and I was moving around and things, it didn't feel too big. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, you try something on, whether it's something you've made yourself, whether it's something you're trying on in a shop, and you stand there like a statue, you know, trying to suck your tummy in and make your thighs look thin, and you think, oh, it fits a certain way. Then you actually start moving and things feel different. If I'm trying on a coat in a shop, because coats are usually made of things that don't give very much, I always stretch my arms forward to see whether it's screaming across my back. But generally, we sort of stand there and think, oh yes, that fits nice, as long as I don't breathe or sit down. And as I was actually moving around and doing things, the shrug was just brilliant. It didn't sort of fall off my shoulders. The sleeves, I'd thought, because the cuffs were, they're a little bit floppy and they're a lace, I thought they might dangle in my food and get in the way. Not a bit of it. It was brilliant. I don't swan around in evening dress very often, more's the pity, so I have no idea when I'm likely to wear these again. And as I talked about in great excitement, the shrug is exactly the same colour as my dress, but I don't have much else that's that colour. So I don't know when I'm likely to wear the shrug again, but it's not going to change, and I doubt I'm going to change too much. So next time that I have a call for wearing a dress like that, it wasn't, it cost me something stupid like about £8, but it's not an everyday dress, so whenever I wear it again, at least I know I've got the shrug. It was quite amusing, really. By about 8:30, everyone was off to the car for the fleece that, you know, sits screwed up in a ball in the boot, and the weather was really becoming quite brisk. But there we go. I was just so pleased that I had it, and I was really pleased that I'd made it. And a couple of people said, oh, did you make that? And I thought, yes, I did. Thank you. I said in the early days of starting this podcast, possibly even in the very first episode, that I am not a craftswoman when it comes to yarn. I don't grow my own sheep, I don't spin my own fleece, I don't dye things. Well, generally that's true, but this is the summer holidays and normal service is suspended, and I will do almost anything in the name of keeping my 7-year-old occupied. And we've been talking for a while about dyeing some yarn. From what I have read, it's only pure wool yarn that you can dye with food colouring, which was the only way I was ever going to go with something like this. I wasn't going to get too clever. And I have a cone of yarn. I just can't imagine how much yarn must be on this thing. Hundreds and hundreds of metres. It's come straight from a sheep on my aunt and uncle's small holding in Devon. And I've not done anything with it, really, but I realised it was absolutely ideal for dyeing. And my son was quite interested in this idea. So we've been talking about it for a while, but because we've had loads of visitors in the house and I've had masses to do, I really wasn't going to get into it in the last few days. But last night, Monday evening, everything had calmed down and I knew that we had to start the process the night before. So this is what we did. Last night we got the yarn to the point where it was ready to soak overnight, and then this morning we carried on and did the rest, and he was great. He was involved every step of the way. I'm following a sort of walkthrough in a blog called the Pea Soup blog. I will obviously include the link in the show notes. And this morning he and I got involved with the business end of it, and I thought, this is a kid's activity, and rather than me blying on about it at great length, I thought I might let him tell you about it. So I've recorded a little interview with him. When it goes quiet, as it does from time to time, imagine a small child screwing their face up, staring at the ceiling and thinking. And I also made the big mistake of sitting him, he was facing the window and I was facing him, so obviously exciting tractors and things went past from time to time, and I just had to guide him gently back round onto the subject. But he's quite an articulate little chap, and I think you'll enjoy listening to him talking us through the process. Bear in mind, of course, that children's minds don't work in a linear fashion, so we jump around a little bit, but I think you get the gist. I'm here with my little boy who can't stop laughing because I just said bum.
Don't even say it again.
But we're hoping we're going to get over that. What have we been doing this morning?
Well, yesterday we dyed some yarn. So, we dyed the yarn today, but we soaked some yarn at my aunt and uncle's house spun freshly from a sheep.
Can you remember what we soaked it in?
Vinegar and water.
That's right, half and half. And how long did we leave it to soak?
Overnight.
We did, overnight, that's right.
And then we took it out and we went outside. I had some rubber gloves on. They were both left and too big for me. And
what did we do first? Was it did we leave it really dripping wet?
No, we got some, and we went outside with it in the bucket, and then we put some towels out, and then we had the bucket on the floor with the thing with the knitting in, and then we took it out.
We had to be quite careful how we handled it, didn't we?
Yeah, because we didn't want to tangle it up.
Yeah.
And then we put it on the towel, and then we got another towel and put that on top, and then we sort of squeezed it out, so I pressed on top.
What did we have to be careful about when we were handling it?
Not to rub.
That's right. We had to be careful.
Because it's all spun, and they're just round and these little spirals.
We could have damaged it, couldn't we, if we'd rubbed it or wrung it out. Yeah. So we were pressing to get rid of the water. So once we'd got rid of most of the water, what did we do next? Did it start to get a bit interesting at that stage?
Yes, because we put the food colouring in it. I chose red because at the supermarket, I chose orange colouring, but there's only one, and Mum wanted to get two, so
I thought we might need two. Because the other thing we had to sort of work out was how much food colouring we were going to need. And how did we work that out?
We weighed it and it was 32 grams and we had 38 millimetres.
Millilitres.
Millilitres.
Yeah, because we needed 1 millilitre of food colouring for every gram of yarn, didn't we?
Yeah, so in the end, I managed to use the whole one. The whole
bottle.
The food colourings aren't that
big.
No,
they're very small, aren't they? But that was all they had.
And then I used a little bit of the other bottle we bought. They're only plastic.
And so why were you wearing plastic gloves? What were you doing with your hands?
I was pressing the food colouring, which is red, and I was pushing it so it all spread out and stuff.
That's right.
And it ended up... You were
working it into the yarn, weren't you?
Yeah. I'm just looking at my mum's shelf, and she's got the actual cone of real yarn.
There's plenty more of... So if this goes well, we could do some more, couldn't we? Can you remember the name of the sheep that the yarn came from?
No.
I think it was Cedric. Was it? Or Cecil? Cecil or Cedric?
Cecil. Because Cedric's somebody who died from Voldemort.
Right, okay, we don't need to go there. and do you want to tell people why we're dyeing some yarn?
My mum is going to knit a sort of jacket with a little pocket on the front for my teddies, because the hair, quite a big one, and then there's a small baby with one in it.
And they haven't got much fluff left, have they?
It's growing back, actually.
It's like one of those little naked cats or little naked dogs that needs clothes because you've loved all its fluff off. So what did we do once you'd...
They are light.
Let's save that for another day, honey. So you used your rubber gloves to work the colour into the yarn.
Yeah.
And what did we do next?
We kept it in the bowl. We went inside. We put it in the microwave for 5 minutes. And I added it for 5 minutes and 1 second.
And what do we... So it did its 5 minutes, and I've taken it out. And what need... Can you remember? I know we haven't done it yet, but...
It needs to cool down completely, otherwise it can go terribly wrong.
But not dry out. I had to sprinkle a little bit of water on it, didn't I?
Well, we haven't actually done
it. I did. Oh, you maybe weren't looking. I just sprinkled a wee bit of water on it. And once it's cooled down completely, can you remember what we need to do next? You may not have noticed when I said...
No.
We just do exactly the same again. We put it back in the microwave on full power for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think let it cool down again. And then I think it's going to be ready. So I'll be able to... Well, you'll have to decide whether you want me to carry on working on your new jumper or whether you want me to start working on Bun Bun's jumper. I'll have to decide.
I've already decided.
Have you?
I know you've already started my jumper, but I think the Bun Bun one will be quite more exciting.
I think it probably will. That's fine. I might just have enough knitting needles that I can leave yours on the needles and start the other one. Thank you very much for talking to us about what's been involved in dyeing yarn. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Do you think you
can
might...
Can I just go back right to the beginning when we started with the yarn? We got a measuring tape and we put it at 1 meter, and then we started going round and round circles around the measuring tape until we had 50 meters of it. 50.
That's right, that's how much we need. Well, the pattern I've got in mind says 30 metres, but I know I'm going to have to change the pattern a little bit to fit your teddy, so I just wanted to be on the safe side.
And you're going to have to fit a pocket at the front of it?
Yes, yes I am.
I'll have to think about that later.
Like a kangaroo.
Yeah, absolutely. A kangaroo rabbit.
And then after that, we put it on a chair leg.
Oh,
yes. We wound it around a chair
leg. I sat on the floor with the yarn that we'd just measured. Yeah. And then we needed Daddy's help, didn't we?
Yes. And so we ended up like having a spider's web.
Yes.
So my mum was sitting on the floor with it. She kept on passing it up to Dad, who was sitting on the sofa.
And what were you doing?
And then I was winding around the chair. And then it was like, it was like a sort of not quite finished triangle, a sort of sledgy triangle.
So what happened when we tried to get the yarn off the chair?
We tied loads of sort of
bits of waste yarn.
We tied double knot.
Yeah, we just
yarn around the proper yarn, and
then we tried to get our skein off the chair, but it didn't work, did it?
Because I tied a double knot around the chair leg.
That wasn't the only reason. That was fairly easily solved. The problem was the chair legs stuck outwards, didn't they?
Yeah, and then I had to get an Allen key from the garage, and I had to unscrew the leg, and Mummy plucked it off like a chicken leg. And
then we were able to take the yarn off, weren't we?
And then I had to screw it all back together, which was really fun because I couldn't align it.
Oh, well, never mind. You got there in the end. Thank you very much for telling us all about dyeing yarn. And maybe we'll do it again another time and we'll see if we've learned anything from this time, shall we?
Yeah, because we still have at least a cone of it left.
Oh, we have a very great deal of that yarn. Right, do you want to say goodbye to everybody?
Bye.
I mentioned in the intro knitted knockers. This is, I'm sure you'll have heard of it, long and short of it is they are soft knitted breast prosthesis, and they're knitted from what I can see all over the world. And I didn't realise initially when I was considering knitting one and looking at what was involved, I was looking at the Canadian site. And that seems to be relatively relaxed. They've got the patterns available. You knit them, you go from there. But then I realised clearly I was going to have to go through the UK organisation. And a very brief look at their website makes it apparent that they're really quite strict, which I suppose is a good thing. I was a wee bit disappointed too. They're very strict about the standards to which these are made, which is not unreasonable when you consider the experiences of the women who are taking them. And also, and again, this is a good thing, they are closed to new applicants just now for knitting, the knitting side of it, because they've had some recent publicity and they've been swamped with inquiries. So it's good to hear, but it means I can't really go any further. I'm assuming that my standard of knitting will not be up to it. I'm assuming that they want really very good, very reliable knitters. So maybe that's something to aspire to. But one thing, this is a personal bugbear. One thing that I saw on their front page really made my heart sink is that they do all their communicating through a closed Facebook group. I really don't enjoy using Facebook. Once or twice I've been forced to join a closed group, because if I didn't, a sort of essential aspect of my life or a child's activity would have been made a lot harder. But I don't like doing it. I don't friend people on Facebook. Twitter, other platforms are different. I just dislike Facebook in particular. So that was a bit of a shame, and that ultimately I have to decide which of my principles is stronger, not wanting to use Facebook or wanting to make a contribution if I would be considered to be good enough. So for now, sadly, knitted knockers are on hold, but my needles are not still. Aside from making this jumper for my son's teddy, which I found a pattern that has it's a basic teddy jumper pattern. I'm obviously just going to have to tinker around a bit with the stitch count and things like that. And as for this pocket he set his heart on, oh my God, I'm sure it can't be that difficult. I've set a pocket onto the front of a hoodie for him before, so there really can't be too much difference in the concept. But what I will be doing, I think, before I've done it, my expectation is I will knit a separate piece and just graft it on. I'm not planning to do anything clever and actually knit a pocket in, because that just sounds a bit much of a challenge, shall we say, for the summer holidays. But on Sunday evening, when I'd finished these socks and had woven in everything, I have been saying for ages that I need to knit some jumpers for my son, because he's growing like a mushroom, and I'm pretty sure all the jumpers he has, some of them are going to be ridiculously and unequivocally too small by the winter. One or two I think he'll try to squeeze into, but I wanted to just get on with one. And we're flying through it, actually. It's called Lawrence. I've got a printout. There we go. There you go. Printout of the pattern in front of me. It's called Lawrence with a W, and it's designed by the Barocco design team. It's a free download. I'm not absolutely sure where I got it from. It's likely to be Ravelry, but that's not a dead cert. And rather charmingly, I can see in the footer here, it says their address is 1 Tupperware Drive. Isn't that charming? And in fact, the photograph that they have could completely put you off knitting it. The photograph's pretty horrible. They've used a pretty manky yarn, and I'd say the sleeves are a little bit too small for that child. So I'm knitting it in a nice yarn. It is an acrylic, but bear in mind, I have a 7-year-old boy. They get messy and they don't respect their clothes. So you need something that's going to put up with a bit of abuse. It's rather lovely, and it's coming on, it's flying. I've already made the back completely. I'm making age 8, because he's going to be 8 in the not too distant. And it's largely stocking stitch, but there's a garter stitch panel round the shoulders. The yoke really is garter stitch, and a slight drop down onto the sleeves. So the back I had made in less than 24 hours, and the front is coming on well. I've made the ribbed welt, and I'm now up into the body. It's fairly mindless. You knit the body, you do the welt, and then you do the stocking stitch for age 8, just up until something like 12 and a half inches. And you can hold a conversation, you can watch TV, as I will be doing this evening. You can keep half an eye on your child while they have their swimming lesson. And this thing just grows before your eyes. And the contrast between an Aran yarn on 5mm needles from using 4-ply sock yarn and 2¾mm needles couldn't be greater. I can even do this without my glasses occasionally, which feels like quite an achievement. So I'm really enjoying doing this, and I had hoped to just be able to power through it, but I can see that once this yarn has dried, we're right now as I speak, I've asked him to sort of go and read or amuse himself for half an hour while I do this, because we have to let the yarn finish cooling before we can microwave it again, and then we have to let it cool again. So I'm going to ensure that it's tomorrow before I can start on that. So that's going to take me a few days. We're away next week, now not at the weekend as well, so I'd like to think I can have this done before we go away, the teddy jumper I mean, so that while we're away I can just focus on getting this jumper done, and then it will be great. It'll be really satisfying to know that I'm a third of the way through my proposed jumper knitting for him. It's a lovely blue and white yarn. It's a variegated yarn. It's the same one that I used for the lace cloth that I gave my friend along with the blue and white China cup in June. It's much more appropriate to a jumper than it ever was to a lace panel, but there you go. So it's got it's got a little bit of actual white, but mainly it's got some icy blues, it's got a wee bit of smoky blue, there's a royal blue, a navy, and a very dark blue. And I was going to say they're brilliant boy colours. I don't mean that in any sexist way. I just think it's a great colour for a little boy. He likes it. One of the reasons I like this is it's got a sort of stand up ribbed collar, which I rather like. So I'm going to knit him that. I've got some purple yarn. I might well make him a hoodie or something like that. And then I think, as I've still got tons and tons of this cream Aran, I might just knit him a Gamsey or something. Although knitting a small boy a cream sweater is clearly putting your head in the lion's jaws. But that's my theory. That's what I would like to do. So I'll keep you posted on that. I've put one or two pictures of the jumper in progress on Instagram already. I try not to swamp Instagram with masses of pictures of the same thing, just getting slightly bigger and slightly bigger, because that can be a wee bit boring. I don't think I've put any yet of the dyeing up on there, so I'll put one or two on there. And I'll also put a gallery of what we've been doing with the dyeing in the show notes, because I think that would be quite fun to see it go through its various stages. Tomorrow I'm going to my first knit and natter in 7 weeks. Yay! I'm really looking forward to it. Again, being the summer holidays, everything's all over the place. And we have the museum bus joining us tomorrow. This is aimed at kids, but I'm sure any adult knitter would find it very interesting. They are doing the history of wool, and I've mentioned in previous pods that in this part of North Herefordshire, the wool from Ryland's sheep has been massively important to the local economy. It's said that Queen Elizabeth would wear stockings only made from Ryland's wool, and at that time this was the only part of the world where you got the Ryland's wool. So I'm quite interested to see that. I think myself and all the other members of the knitting group were rather surprised to discover that the knitting tutorials that we thought we were going to be doing tomorrow, or that's a grand term, just helping people to solve knitting problems or learn to knit, we just blithely assumed it would be adults. Turns out it's going to be kids. So that's going to be quite amusing. I think I'm going to put a bottle of something interesting into chill before I leave for that, because I'm probably going to need it by the time I get home. When my daughter was little, I used to help with IT classes in her school, and by the time I got home, I had used up all my patience for repeating myself and using words of one syllable. When I say small, I mean 5 years old. Imagine a bunch of five-year-olds and you're teaching them to code and all this sort of stuff. So my goodness, that was interesting. It feels like a very long time ago now, but by the time I got home, I had no patience left. I was just exhausted, but that's just one of my weaknesses. But at the same time, I think it could be quite fun. I'm gonna have to get my son to go under the sofa and rescue this other kiddie knitting needle that he rammed down there in a fit of pique a few weeks ago. He's gonna come with me tomorrow morning. He said, "Can I please not be one of those that teaches them to knit?" And I thought, no, probably best not. But he'll enjoy the museum bus, and my mum goes too, so that'll be a bit of a family affair. That should all be just a bit of fun, really. I'll let you know how I do at the village show. I'm also, as well as the socks, I'm putting in salmon pate and an elderflower cordial. When we were in Budapest, one of my aunts was on pins on the Saturday afternoon because she had put a load of stuff into the village show through a friend, and we were sort of waiting to hear how she'd done, and it turned out she'd done really, really well. She'd got first or second in loads of classes, but hers were all things like, you know, longest run of bean and all this kind of thing. So I know my limitations, and my veg patch has been decimated by the rabbits this year, so we're not doing that. And my son is entering a couple of categories, so we'll see. You know, I don't expect to win for the knitted category. One year when I submitted socks before, I should say, but they were a very plain ribbed sock. It was 2014, obviously beginning of the anniversary of the First World War, and these were actually in a camouflage green, a variegated yarn. So I packaged them up as if they had been sent by a sort of weepy lover on the home front sending them to her sweetheart on the front. I think I addressed them to Private Perkins, the front France. I just can't remember how I did, but I certainly didn't win. They weren't particularly exciting. And that year also somebody had done the most incredible intricate lace shawl, and let's be honest, that's always going to walk the knitted category. So if someone's done that, and it's entirely possible that they have, because shawls are the thing to knit just now, then I'm expecting to be a very distant also-ran. But what the hell, it's a little bit of fun here and there. So I'll see how I get on. I probably, if I do at all well, I might just mention it on my social media channels. On Twitter, I'm @theordknitter. On Instagram, I'm The Ordinary Knitter, and on Ravelry, I'm Ordinary Knitting. Just so happens, with the vagaries of all these different platforms, I just couldn't get the same name across all three. Well, thank you very much for listening to this extended episode. I hope you enjoyed the interview with my little boy. He was very excited to do it. He rambles off a wee bit here and there, but, you know, I think he didn't do too badly. He said, I've never been interviewed before. So that was very exciting. Helped to while away a Tuesday in the summer holidays. If you've got any comments or any questions, please don't hesitate to drop me a line. You can also reach me at heather@theordinaryknitter.net. I put a few extra things in the show notes that aren't in the podcast. Obviously, there's images on there. I put all my links on there. So if there's anything you'd like to get off your chest, do so that way. No knitted knockers pun intended. And I look forward to speaking to you again in a couple of weeks. Bye.